Coming up on today's show, gift ideas for the true haunter in your life, and Haunted Overload continues their tradition of donations. The Mortuary debuts Psycho Holiday Halloween Haunt, and Max gets us a post-mortem report from the Blood Prison. Here we go.
For the 10th year in a row, the Haunted Overload team has donated a portion of its proceeds from its Halloween attraction to support animals in need at the Pope Memorial Humane Society, Cahico Valley. On November 15th, Eric Lother and the Haunted Overload team presented the shelter with another large check, bringing their total over 10 years to over $347,000. The money they've donated has been used to create a cat playroom in the shelter's new building and to support the care of animals for 10 years. The Pope Memorial Humane Society was founded in 1984 as a nonprofit org and provides a safe and loving home to more than 1,000 animals each year. Because it receives no federal or state funding, the generous support from the community and events such as Haunted Overload are very important to its survival. Thank you, Eric and team, for all that you've done for the Pope Memorial Humane Society of Cahico Valley. As we're already into the second week of December, Brian from Haunted Toolbox asked, on the first day of Christmas, a true haunter gave to me blank. We received a bunch of responses, including a toolbox with all the tools, a severed head in a pear tree, E6000, five big strobe lights, zip ties, a case of flatback spray paint, and a special shout out to Alex Farnsworth, who, on a whim, made up a complete list of the 12 days of Christmas things that he would like. Check out our post with the link in the show notes. Just when you thought Halloween was over, the Mortuary in Mid-City, New Orleans debuted its first ever creepy Christmas-themed haunted house. The new fear-filled event, called the Psycho Asylum, Home for the Holidays, launched this last weekend and runs weekends through January 2nd. The Mortuary will incorporate the same video game-style laser tag experience that they used in their October haunt. Owner Jeff Bourne said he has been working on this concept for a few years and is excited to debut the experience. It's not your typical haunted attraction. With the Halloween season over, we wanted to extend a new, unique, and interactive experience to all of our visitors. You'll be able to defend yourself by shooting your way through a maze of serial killers, supported by Santa's own team of psychopaths. It's sure to offer a unique alternative attraction this holiday season. Guests can expect COVID-19 safety plans similar to what was in place during Halloween, including required face coverings, timed ticketing, and regular rounds of sanitization in the attraction. In addition, in Jefferson Parish, the New Orleans Nightmare will also transform its Halloween haunt into Krampus, a Haunting Christmas, for 2 days only, this weekend, December 11th and 12th. This nightmarish event returns for its third year in the attraction in Jefferson. Are your haunts doing anything over the holidays? Please, let us know. Speaking of last weekend and of Krampus, I want to offer a big shout out to all of the Krampus groups across the world who were able to get out this weekend and do their Lauf. A Lauf is a parade or a walk that the Krampuses do every year, usually around December 5th, Krampusnacht. Because of COVID this year, things were significantly different. I want to shout out to all of those that were able to celebrate, whether it was in your own backyard with your grandson, like I did, or out on the socially distant streets. And a special shout out to my hometown crew, Krampusnacht Edmonton, who divided, instead of one long Lauf with a lot of Krampus demons and angels out, split into many small cohort groups to make sure that they could cover all areas of the street and entertain some of the people. For those of you who don't know what the Krampus is, or just want to learn more about the history, I suggest the following book, The Krampus and the Old Dark Christmas, Roots and Rebirth of the Folkloric Devil, from 2016 by Al Ridenour. It may be out of print now, but copies are still available on Amazon and other retailers, and you may be able to find it in your local bookstore. Amazon also has the Kindle version that you can download so you can read it on your Kindle or even just on your computer. It covers not only a great history and the explanation of Krampus, but also Perchta, Schnabelperched, and all the history around the season from St. Nicholas Day and the preceding Krampusnacht, right through the season to Christmas, going up through the 12 days of Christmas, and right up to Epiphany. I also want to shout out to all of the vendors out there who are creating things for the Krampus season and keeping this Halloween spirit that we all know and love alive throughout the rest of the year. Alan Hops, I know, has made some great masks, and there's other vendors out there that are producing goods, whether it's Krampus-like ornaments for your Christmas tree or masks such as those that Alan is making. Thank you all.
That was Daryl Plunkey, and now on to Max's interview with Vic from Blood Prison.
Vic, how are you today?
Good, man. How's it going?
Tell us, maybe for those that aren't familiar, maybe tell us about Blood Prison.
Well, we're, like you said, up in Mansfield, Ohio at the Mansfield Reformatory, where they shot the Shawshank Redemption movie. That's how everybody knows the place. It's a big gothic castle-looking old prison. Interesting venue, very paranormal and has its actual haunting element to it. So it's a fun place to do a haunt for sure.
So tell us about this season.
The season, considering everything that was going on, actually went pretty well. You know, we put in some precautions, obviously, and we did some COVID restriction type deals. But what really kind of jammed us up a little bit is we normally have our two big cell blocks, up and running. And I couldn't do that this year because we didn't know if haunted attractions were even going to be allowed to run. And honestly, we didn't think they would. We figured, they would last minute everything and be like, no, you guys can't do it this year. Which, is what it is, but they never did. They just kind of really put out recommendations. But operating a haunted attraction there, because it's a museum, it's not just my building that I, put a haunt in. You know what I mean? So it's owned by the Mansfield Reformatory Preservation Society. So they do other events as well, including, daily tours. So we have to set up and tear down every year. And that takes like at least a little less than a month to set everything up. So we didn't have the time since they didn't release the recommendations until I think it was September 17th. And we were supposed to open on the 25th. So we didn't really have the time to do it. So we weren't able to use our cell blocks. In that instance, the season wasn't good because the cell blocks is really kind of what makes us different than, everybody else. And, I guess you could say special because they're huge and they're enormous and they're just so creepy. And they're, the ceilings are, probably, 100 feet. And then it's almost 400 feet long on each end. So in that sense, it, wasn't the same. And some of the fun parts, is in the cell blocks, people get in those big areas and the way we dress the cell blocks, we've really come a long way with that. So, but in the aspect of getting to open, it went really well. We had everybody in masks, guests and actors, and we had the building sanitized every day. We'd come in, have a company come in and sanitize the haunt route and everything. So, but it went great, considering. I hope I never have to do it that way again. I mean, I will say that because that, I don't want to do that again. I mean, it's not just a disservice to our guests, but to us as haunters, because it's hard to take someone out of my big giant clown cell block on one side and stick them somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that those cell blocks are, they're phenomenal. They're just, it's just beautiful to walk through, but it also, probably creates a fantastic distraction for people that the actors are able to take advantage of. I would say it's almost cheating because it's such a fantastic building, but it's, it really is a great place.
There's a way to look at it. Yeah.
So with it all, how was the reception? How did the audience take it?
Well, we tried to, I did some radio interviews and I put some stuff on the web, for me, everything saying, that we're not able to do certain things this year. For the most part, people dug it. They said, hey, it was still great. All my reviews were still good. The reviewers we had come through, Scare Factor, Ohio Valley Haunts, all those guys, they all came through and said, they were grading us on a COVID curve is what they would tell us, but, I have a really good team of people I put together that really just made what we had to run spectacular. Maybe I'm just, a little biased, but it was great. The new areas that we put in that, the new sections were crazy good. I mean, I just had so much fun, putting them together, designing them and watching the crew build everything and, put it all down on paper. So we had a really good year considering we only ran 4 weekends. So we were cut short and we were less than half of our normal haunt, but it went really well.
So building as it is, pretty creepy as it is, the actors are the ones that are still going to be bringing this show to life. I don't know. Did you have any standouts for this year?
This year, we had a couple new people come in from by Toledo that came all the way down from Toledo to work with us. What's her name? Mitchie, I believe is her name. And she was in our cage right after the East cell block. She's like a doctor slash nurse character. And she was like 100 miles an hour the whole time. She was amazing. Our new
Mitchie
butcher guy
is awesome.
I've
met Mitchie. She is pretty awesome.
She is. She's a wonderful person. And she goes, and she actually was in our house, in our kitchen. And she was like, yeah, I'm kind of not feeling it. And my acting manager, Brian, was just like, well, hey, well, let's move you. Let's, you know, switch things up. Cause you know, we want to get the best that we can at everybody and be comfortable. And we moved her down there and she just, oh my God, she just flourished. You know what I mean? She just did so well. And our new butcher is a guy that came to us from Cedar Point named Mike. Cause Cedar Point was closed this year. So they, you know, he asked me, hey, can I work with you guys? Yeah, of course. You know, so he was great. A guy named Mike Cavender was really good. My granny character in our house, Darian, is, he's always, he's a character. Let me tell you, that guy gets mentioned in almost every one of our reviews because he is the guy that will, doesn't matter what you say to this guy, he's got something for you. My front of house guy, Casey, they called him Father, was really good this year. He was in our kitchen last year. I mean, I could name many, many people that did, you know, did so well for us this year, considering, you know, the situations we had.
I want to give my own shout out to Andrea. I think she was the warden's widow.
Yeah. She is. Yeah. The warden's widow. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. All the photos that were taken.
Yeah.
Like her and the character, it was like, oh, and she got me pretty good when I came through a year and a half ago too. I mean, that's a heck of a scream.
Oh yeah. She changed her costume up a little bit, had Svenpuss do some stuff to her dress that put these new sleeves on, and they gave her this headdress piece for her. Oh man, it's spectacular. They did such a good job. And she supported that for our photo shoot and our video and then for the season, and it looked badass, man. Let me tell you.
So if people want to find out more about Blood Prison, maybe what are some of the social medias and such where they can come and find you?
Well, we're on you know, Facebook and Instagram. We've got a YouTube channel. And then, you know, just the website, bloodprison.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it. Anytime. And keep on, man. Let's keep it going. Let's move into next season and move forward. That's all I can say, man.
And that is it for today. From the Haunted Attraction Network, I'm Philip, and this was your Haunt News Briefing. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you catch our shows every Tuesday and Thursday. And if you like this episode, please leave us a review in iTunes and share this episode with a friend. Today's episode was sponsored in part by Gantam Lighting and Controls. It was produced by me, Philip Hernandez, with post-production and editing by David Swope and music provided by Chris Thomas. The news was reported by Daryl Plunkey. And if you want to be part of the conversation, join our Facebook group at Haunters Toolbox. If you have news or a story to report, drop me a line at philip@hauntedattractionnetwork.com. And until next time, everyone, stay scary.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.